Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verse 33 and on. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye, Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this afternoon. And now, before we proceed on with our reading and meditating on the scripture, let us bow down and worship the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, in thy holy word thou hast given to us not only the things that thou wants us to do and observe, not only the commandments and ordinances to guide us, to lead us to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thou art also giving us a warning, admonition, and correction to protect our souls, to keep us from evil, to keep our steps from the snares and deceiving devices of the enemy. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this holy word of thine. We thank thee, O Lord, for that clear and simple instruction, for the brightness and clearness of thy truth, O Lord. But thou, O Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with more of that gratitude and love for all that is thine. And thou, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, filling our hearts with love and gratitude, make our souls to overflow with praises to thy holy name, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. This short time that we are together, this very limited time in which we are sharing thy holy word, partaking of this bread of heaven, gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, thou fill our hearts illuminate our minds so that in the meantime, when we are not together, we may also be one in thy spirit, in the spirit of Christ, that spirit of thine, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of true love, faithfulness and zeal for thy name. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, thou help us to understand thy holy word. For we see, O Heavenly Father, that in the days when our Savior was walking in the flesh upon the face of this earth and proclaiming thy holy word, there were some people that heard and believed, some that did understand and rejoice in thy holy word. But there were others that never understood. And among those that did not understand, we see that there were those that did think they understand. So we pray, O Heavenly Father, that thy Spirit may illuminate our minds. That thou, O Heavenly Father, cleanse away everything that is not thine. Make us free at this time, O Lord. Make us free from fears and worries. Make us free from human and earthly concerns. May our heart and mind be wholly thine. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, thou grant us that deep insight and clear understanding of thy word, that we may receive new strength, just as we receive new strength for our body when we are eating this earthly food that thou art daily providing for us. May our inner man, our soul, be strengthened by thy truth. May this holy word of thine be like the river of life, like streams of grace that flow from the throne on high and fill our hearts with new peace and a new joy, that joy of thy salvation and peace of thy forgiveness, thy patient and loving fatherly care. O make us thou aware of thy great goodness and mercy, and help us to see daily that goodness and mercy of thine is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. So, Holy Father, according to our limited understanding, and in harmony with thy holy word, we pray, O Heavenly Father, that in our hearts and in our minds there be no shadow, no wrinkle, that we be completely open to thy holy word, and receiving thy word, that we may be strong in this holy faith, that in everything, O Heavenly Father, in every test or trial, thou wouldst have thy victory, O Lord. That thy Spirit always prevail against the darkness of this world. Gracious Lord, thou make us strong in this holy faith and fill our hearts with love, love and gratitude and praise. And thou enable us, O Heavenly Father, to do the good deeds of charity, of loving kindness. And in that loving kindness thou make us firm, firmly grounded upon that rock of ages. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, when we look around and when we see, O Heavenly Father, so much iniquity, so much evil, When we see that sin is like an awful flood covering the great part of humanity, Thou help us, O Lord, not to be discouraged, but to be even more grateful that Thou hast redeemed us, that Thou hast removed our souls from darkness, and Thou hast placed us into Thy bright light on the path of righteousness. Oh, we do thank Thee, Lord, for taking away, removing from us our filthy rags of our sins. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for washing away the stains of our sins, O Lord, from off our soul, and adorning our souls in the righteousness of Christ our Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, wilt Thou daily renew our joy of Thy salvation, that our souls may be like the priestly censers, filled with the love as the calls from the heavenly altar, filled with gratitude as with the incense, that holy fragrance ascending up to Thy throne in our praises, in our thanksgiving, O Lord. And Thou inspire us always anew to praise Thee from the depth of our heart, and to herald the great day of Thy coming, the joys and blessedness of Thy salvation, and the severity of Thy judgment. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou watch over us and protect us. And with Thy goodness and grace, enlighten every heart and mind, that we all may reach that goal, and continually, O Heavenly Father, that we may be reaching out again, that we all may experience that perfect peace of Thy forgiveness, peace of trusting in Thee, Thy loving fatherly care, and that ongoing desire to tell the others about this wonderful grace of Thine. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, move the hearts and the souls that Thou hast redeemed, Thou deliver from oppression. Thou grant true repentance, full conversion, complete turning away from sin, victory over sin and death, victory over Satan and world, victory of Christ in our hearts, in our...
I think I wrongly pushed the recording button when I was listening to the tape, this part.
Arm with the whole armor of faith and lead us through this battle. Thee, gracious Lord, help Thy children in every need, and in everything Thou strengthen our faith, that we would never waver, never grow feeble. And as we see, O Heavenly Father, how much iniquity is around in the world, and how many plagues plague the humanity of nowadays, we pray, O Lord God Almighty, and in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of threats of death and persecution, wars and hatred, in the midst of sickness and all kind of miseries, there be someone to turn unto thee, to cry unto thee, someone, O Heavenly Father, who will hear thy holy word, thy invitation, and answer, and find thy salvation. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, for thy great goodness and mercy, may our souls ever praise thee. May our hearts be united on in glorifying thy holy name. And as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, may thy spirit of life fill us always anew, that we may, O Heavenly Father, walking onward, come to that heavenly portal. And when our pilgrimage is ended, that we may look backward, that we may look forward, that we may see like thy servant the Apostle Paul, how wonderful and how glorious is thy goodness and grace that preserved us, that protected us, that brought us to the end of our journey. And how glorious and wonderful is that kingdom whose doors thou hast opened to those that thou hast redeemed. O blessed Lord, that's our desire. But thou add much more than we can ask in our prayer. And thou, O Heavenly Father, accept us in the Savior, and bless thy holy word, and may that word, O Heavenly Father, work in our lives and bring honor and glory to thy holy name. Amen. Let us continue now our reading through the help of our Lord with the verse number 43 to read through to the verse number 52. Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 12. We will continue our reading on the verse number 43. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers, and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers. For they indeed killed them, and ye built their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. This far I desired to read from the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that we all know that our Lord and Savior was a loving Lord, a patient teacher, very kind, that He was comforting the sad, healing the sick, proclaiming the gospel to the poor, and never asked any material, physical, earthly reward for all that He was doing. We know that He was hugging and blessing children. And yet, it is very important that we know that He also was very firm. That some of His words, and very properly so, were very strong, very harsh. You see, John the Baptist talked about a tree and an axe, and he said that the axe is at the root of the tree. Now, if one would take an axe and try to cut the tree down, but would not use the sharp blade of the axe, but the other end, it would take a long time. And chances are that he would get tired before the tree would be cut down. So, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he faced the corruption of the leaders of that society, especially those that were in honor, that were in power, that were the teachers, he used sharpness. Because that tree of their corruption, their sin, their worldliness, their pride was so strong, it wouldn't be cut down easily, not with kind words. And so we read here that the Lord did not only give us instruction and teaching what we should do, He also is giving us warning what we should beware of. Be not like them, He said. He said to the disciples that they should beware from the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, when we think about leaven, basically, in the old times, leaven was used to mix dough, mix leaven and dough, and make bread, bake bread. But leaven had to be mixed with the dough so much that one could not discern what is leaven and what is dough. And that's what happened to the Pharisees. We remember Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, came to the Lord and honestly, sincerely, even friendly, talked to the Lord, and he said, "Master, we Pharisees know that thou art a teacher come from God." But then, when the Lord said, "Ye must be born again," Nicodemus turned away in his heart and said, "How can that be? How can anyone teach something that we are not teaching already? How can a simple man, supposedly a carpenter from Nazareth, an uneducated man, teach a ruler, a Pharisee, a teacher?" Well, the Lord said, "We talk that we know." And the truth remains, ye must be born again, or ye cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So it was a heavy sermon. And apparently, Nicodemus turned away and went his way and did not understand the word of God until finally he saw himself how corrupted, how wicked, how murderous is that Pharisaic fellowship organization. So when all the disciples ran away in that dark night, that dark time when our Lord was crucified, Nicodemus came back to honor something that he probably thought were the remains of Jesus of Nazareth. Well, these were not the ordinary remains. It was a dead body that soon will be alive again. So we read here, and we are reminded of those words that the Lord said to his disciples, that hypocrisy in human life can become so mixed with our feelings, with our thinking, with our attitude, that we sincerely are wrong. We just think we are right, and we think we know that we are right, and yet something is wrong. There is no harmony between our attitude and our feeling and the Word of God. Or, if we want to fake some harmony, we have to extract some parts of the Word of God and neglect the others, and then somehow we will feel that we are all right. That's so human, and that's a device of Satan. Here the Lord says in the verse 33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." Now, we read also that the Lord said, "When thou doest alms, do not blow a trumpet. Do not boast about that. Do not try to puff up your righteousness, your charity, your good deeds." But then again, the Lord said, "Let your light so shine that the others may see and glorify God in the day of visitation, in the day of their conversion, or in the day when their heart is open to see the righteousness of the Lord." So, when the Lord has placed that light of His Word in our life, He didn't do that in order to hide it from the world, but to show it to the world. A city that is built up on a hilltop cannot be hidden. So, the Lord says that our life should be in such a way and style, in such a harmony with the Word of God, that without our boasting, without our bragging about that, with all the modesty and with a humble heart we walk, and yet it cannot be hidden. It's so different than the darkness of the world. And then the Lord says that the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, what is that single? Simple. Just not crowded, not burdened with wrong attitudes. Just seeing the Word of God as it is, and seeing everything else through the Word of God. And if our eye is single, if our mind is open to the Word of God, then our whole being will be filled with that light. But if there be some evil inside, in the heart, that evil is going to dim the eye, is going to darken our understanding if we keep that evil, if we accept sin or some sinful pleasure or enjoyment. Then our whole being is going to be filled with darkness. Now let's think about that. We know what light is. I mean physical light, natural, or perhaps I shouldn't say natural, just simple fire gives light. Something is burning and that creates light. What is darkness? Darkness is nothing. Darkness is just absent of light. In darkness there is nothing. So, whenever there is no light, there is darkness. And how can we get rid of darkness? Well, just bring in the light. That's just as simple as that. whenever there is the word of God in simple, clear understanding, there is light in the heart and in the mind. But if the word of God is absent, you see, where there is no light, there is darkness. So one can think about himself or herself, I don't steal, I don't murder, I'm not committing this or that great sin, but I'm really not that religious just to study the Word of God and just talk about the Word of God and just go on and on with that. It's really not necessary to exaggerate that much. Just be honest and good to the people around you, and don't worry, God is merciful. Well, if there is no light, there is darkness. So the only way to keep ourselves from being overwhelmed with darkness is to keep that light on and on, like a candle that we read about here. That candle has to have oil, and oil is being used up as the light is burning, as the candle is burning, and we have to add that oil on and on. That's how we keep the light. The Word of God should be the delight of our heart, the desire of our soul, our food and our drink. And if we see that it's not being so, don't wait for the light to be extinguished and the darkness to fill our hearts. But right away, yield to the Word of God again and pray that the Lord will give us that zeal, that desire to have the light, to walk in the light of the Word of God, and to enjoy it, to do it with joy and gladness. So, we read here that in the verse number 35, the Lord says, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Now, how shall we understand this? Is it not that simple that it is either darkness or light? Well, the Lord says, be very careful that the light which is in thee be not darkness. You see, the Lord has the light in His holy word. That's the pillar of light. That's the source of light, or the channel of light for us. But the Lord said that in that verse number 34, that the light of the body, or the window of the body, the way to get that light in is the eye. How do we look at the things? And the Lord has given us some understanding. He has given us the ability to read, to think, to meditate, to search, seek the truth, and find it. Knock at the door of His grace, and the door will be open. But if those abilities, those talents, those gifts that He has given us, if we use that for dark things, if the light He has given us be darkened, then what's going to happen? We are lost in darkness. Instead of reading the Word of God, if we read the filth of the world, instead of looking toward that great and glorious future that the Lord has promised to His own, if we look around the world and seek their sinful pleasures, then the light is darkened. How great is then that darkness? If we help Satan, we'll never overcome him. We will never be stronger than sin if we continue in sin. So that's, I think, what the Lord is telling us here. And then He says, if thy whole body or thy whole being be filled with light, having no part dark, if we strive in our life daily, step by step, hour after hour, with our whole heart, to love the Lord and serve Him, then it's going to be filled with light. Then that light is going to be so bright as if that candle is not only right next to us, but inside of us. And that's that glorious fellowship of His Spirit, dwelling in the hearts of His children and shining in the midst of darkness of this world. And so, as the Lord was speaking, a certain Pharisee asked him to come and have a meal to be his guest. And the Lord went in and sat down to eat. Well, the Pharisees had a custom that whether they be having clean or unclean hands, they would pour water over their hands and they would cleanse themselves from just about anything that they might have ignorantly touched. Something unclean would make them unclean too, and so they would with water cleanse away that uncleanness. And the Lord explained to them that that means absolutely nothing, that water cannot wash away stains of sin, and that physical uncleanness is not necessarily spiritual uncleanness, and the physical washing obviously is not spiritual purification. So the Lord is a guest, he's a visitor, and this a Pharisee supposedly offered a kindness and an honor to the Lord. And now look what the Lord is doing. The Lord is talking to the Pharisee and talking to him publicly. There are other people at that meal, probably. It was not just the Lord himself and this one Pharisee. And the Lord says, "No, ye Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." The Lord says, "Ye are so careful to practice some empty ceremonies. And inside, in your heart, you are very wicked." Now, we couldn't say that this is a very classic kindness. A guest talking to his host this way, especially if there be other visitors or other members of this household. But then again, think about that. If this Pharisee could understand this stabbing truth, it was very hard for him. He was a proud man. He was a man that wanted actually to honor himself by having the Lord as a guest. Remember that what the Lord said in the end, he's going to gather all nations and divide them and put a group on the left hand side and another group on the right hand side and so on. And then to those that are on the left hand side, he didn't say in that story, and the Lord didn't say, "Depart from ye, ye cursed, because ye have committed adultery, fornication, murder, stealing," and so on. No, he said, "I was hungry and ye fed me not. I was thirsty and ye gave me no water," and so on. He gave a whole list of the good deeds, charity deeds, that a concerned believer would have to do. Not because he's commanded by some higher power, but because he has compassion in his heart and just cannot help but help. And the Lord said to them on the left hand side, "Ye never have done any of those things." And they asked when, whenever they failed to do anything of that kind. Well, I don't think at such a important moment they would try to deceive the Lord and say that they did all of those things, even though they did not. No, they did all those things, but not to the Lord, to themselves. They worship themselves because they were proud people. And that's hypocrisy. That's what the Lord wants us to be very careful not to be snared into. So, if this Pharisee could understand this truth, if he was willing to humble himself and to acknowledge his sinful attitude, the sinfulness of his heart, and if he wanted to be just a little more closer to that sinful woman that came and with her tears washed the feet of the Lord. The woman that this Pharisee probably would despise and look down at. But apparently we don't see anything of that in the heart of this Pharisee. So the Lord continued his sermon, short, brief, but very sharp. Ye fools, people without understanding, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? What did the Lord say? By washing your hands, or by showing your ceremonial cleanliness, ye cannot deceive God. God, as he see outside, he see inside just as well. But rather give alms of such things, the Lord says, as ye have. Now what did he say? That they were giving alms of the things they had not. Pretense. They were pretending godliness. And the Lord says, give a good example of what you have. And if you don't, then acknowledge that. Confess. Make it open, clear. Do not deceive yourselves by deceiving the others. Give alms of such things as ye have. And behold, all things are clean unto you. God will make clean everyone that sincerely, honestly, with a humble heart. I would think that as the Lord is speaking, those that are listening, this one Pharisee and perhaps the other Pharisees that might have been around, they are listening and they are not yielding to the word of God. They are getting more and more angry. They hate the truth. You know, Satan hates the truth, because the truth of the Lord is revealing that Satan is Satan and that sin is sin. And Satan would rather come in disguise. He wants to look very holy, very godly. But the Lord, by his truth, the word of God, is revealing all the ugly side of sinfulness. So the Lord is continuing, but woe unto you Pharisees, for ye give one tenth, ye tax yourselves on mint and rue and all manner of herbs. What is that? The tiniest income that they had. For example, that Pharisee would sell something on the market that would cost, in our language, $1, and he would take a dime and put it in the other pocket. That dime belonged to the Lord. And then another time it might have been a quarter, and he would take 2.5 pennies. It was very important that it be exactly 2.5 pennies. Well, we have only one whole penny. We don't have half pennies, do we? So they would make a note, I imagine, and keep that note very carefully. They keep the whole evidence. Why? To show how holy they are, that they don't want to neglect that half a penny. No, that was a lie. They didn't want to give 3 pennies. That's why. That's why they needed such a precise evidence and such a show of godliness, because they were godless people. Who cares for 1 penny? Give 3 pennies. You see, the Lord is giving us much better teaching than Pharisaic teaching. Not 1/10 belong to the Lord and 9 parts belong to us. No. Everything belongs to the Lord. Our life and living, our strength, our health, our mind, our heart, our possessions, our real estate, if there be any, just about everything, our time, everything belongs to the Lord. Why? Well, he is our creator, and we were by sin robbed away from him. And then he is our savior to take us back to him. We are twice his. And the testimony of 2 witnesses is very strong. So if we are His, then let's not think that when we give, oh well, let's say half of my income I give to the Lord, don't make it such a mockery. He does not need my money. That's His money. I'm only a steward. So we should be careful not to be Pharisees. I don't say that all of us should give all of our money to the church. No. To the Lord. If the Lord made us stewards of that money, let's serve Him with all that we have. If the Lord made us stewards of our possessions, and not to mention our children, what a stewardship, what a holy duty. And then think about the relationship with one another in Christian love. What a ministry to encourage one another on the way of righteousness, on the path to eternal glory. Everything, all, including ourselves, belong to the Lord. And we don't have to think about half a penny like a Pharisee. Everything is His. And even though He could manage all of that much better than we do, in His grace, He desired that we experience the pleasure and the joy of serving Him and ministering to one another. So He was gracious so much as to make us His stewards. Praise the Lord. So the Lord said further, Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. You see, these poor Pharisees had no idea how wonderful, how glorious is that to be alone with the Lord. And then to open our hearts completely to the Lord. To allow our tears to flow, whether it be sadness or joy, confession or praise. Just to be alone with the Lord and to know that we belong to Him. To give to Him all our burdens and difficulties. And to rise up with new strength and peace and joy. If they could know that, they would have known that being a Pharisee is really a misery. That the true joy is in being open, honest, sincere with ourselves, with our Lord, and with one another. Woe unto you, scribes! Now, Pharisees apparently are not alone. Their company is growing. Scribes will join them in these woes. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves, which appear not. All their wickedness is hidden, glazed, as the graves might be covered with beautiful green grass. Or perhaps a very costly stones decorated, or with flowers, depend on which nation or country or which custom and tradition we talk about. And all of that is hiding what is inside, and inside are the proofs of death. You see, dead bones. Nothing to be proud of. So the Lord said that a hypocritical religious man, and especially a scribe, you know who the scribes were, they like to write something to show how much they know. Something, some special expression, you know, the power of expression, art, and similar things. All of that the Lord is putting together, and He says, Woe unto you. Not even that. Not only that. But even when the disciples said, Master, look at the temple. Beautiful stones. Great building. And the Lord said, all of that, nothing. Not even a stone upon a stone will remain. See, all the outward religion is nothing. Well, then should we try to look godless on the outward? Of course not. Of course not. What is outward should be an honest reflection of what is inward, inside. Well, then, should we take that in a general way and say, well, right now I feel something sinful in my heart, so let's be honest and sin. No, no, not that. Hypocrisy is intentional harboring of sin, enjoying sin secretly and outwardly showing godliness. So, we read that as the Lord was teaching and giving this very difficult but important lesson to the Pharisees and now to the scribes also, one of the lawyers, another group, all very self-exalted and self-honoring people, or we could say Jews, but really, we could say any others, American, or maybe Indians, just any people on this earth. You cannot find any group, and let's not neglect that self-honoring group called atheists. They also are very self-important and wise in their own conceit, in their own eyes. They think that they just have something great to tell the others. So here are the lawyers, and they also are honorable and important and educated, and they know how to make simple things very complicated. That's why they needed their education, apparently, for. So one of them says, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also, as if they are irreproachable, as if they are so holy and so godly and so worthy of respect and honor. And the Lord answers, whoever is hit hard by my word deserves it, even needs that. So the Lord, in the words that we read, verse 46, says, woe unto you also, ye lawyers. The Lord did not say to this lawyer, oh, I'm sorry, please pardon me, I didn't mean to hurt you. No, he did mean to hurt them. He did mean to tell them the truth. And the sin hit by the truth, well, that hurts. But that's all right, it should hurt. So he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. You see, the Lord is saying, what is satanic teaching of the Word of God? That's exactly that. Make it complicated. Make it difficult. Make it so hard that no one can do it. And be careful not to help anyone. Well, the Lord didn't do that. The Lord's teaching was very simple, very open, very direct, clear. And he also helped those that came to him. When someone came for healing, the Father, we talked about that recently. I think I talked about that with you. That the Father came and the Lord said to the Father, if thou believest, all is possible. I mean, all the mercy and goodness of God is available to those that believe. And the Father, with tears in his eyes, says, I believe, Lord, help thou my unbelief. Did he help? Of course he did help. And the child was healed. We remember Jairus hasting with the Lord to his home because Jairus' daughter is dying, and that was his only child. And the people that have only one child, they think that for them it's an awful loss if that one child died. They might feel that that's greater loss than for those that have perhaps 5 or 10 or maybe more children. It's always a loss. See, our children are like part of us. And it's always very grievous to lose a child, especially to lose a child in sin. That's an awful thing. We remember when the prodigal son was coming, how the father ran to. To meet him and to hug him and to kiss him and take him in. What a joy to have one that is his own back from sin. So, Jairus was hasting with the Lord to Jairus' home because his daughter was dying, and a woman from the crowd that was around them touched the hem of the Lord's garment and she was healed, and the Lord stopped. And Jairus feels that every moment is precious. His daughter is dying and the Lord stopped, and he is looking around, and the Lord says, "Who did touch me?" And the disciples say, "Master, everybody is touching thee." But the Lord said, No. I'm not talking about that. I know that everybody is touching me. But I experienced something. Someone touched me with faith. Someone was healed. And Jairus is there, and he would like to run, not to stop. But he is patient and he is waiting, because he, with all of his weak powers, is trying to trust the Lord. And so, as soon as they are done talking, as soon as the woman that was healed confessed her healing, and the Lord turns around and walks with Jairus toward the home, somebody comes and says, "Too late, too late. Thy daughter is dead." And the Lord knows that Jairus' heart is in grief. And so the Lord turns to Jairus and said, "Fear not, only believe." And Jairus did believe, and the daughter did live. The only thing I feel somewhat sorry concerning that daughter, she had to die again, once more. But really, if that daughter was saved, and I hope she was, being returned to this life to comfort, to bring joy to her parents, I think she must have had believed the Lord afterward. And if she died in Christ, then it's not too much. For the testimony of the Lord, wouldn't be too much to die a few more times, you see. But the greatest joy is not being returned to this life, but to know that the Lord himself is the Lord of living and dying. Everything is in his hands, in his arms, in his power. So, we see here that the Lord says, "Woe also unto you, lawyers, ye make it so difficult. Ye make the teaching of the word of God strange to the simple people. You interpret the word of God not to help the others to be saved, but to keep them from the salvation of the Lord." How awful, how terrible. The Lord said what's going to happen if anyone changed the least part of the message of God, of the word of God. It's an awful judgment. So he said also to them all, "Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them." Now it could have been that great, great, great grandfather of some of these lawyers, Pharisees and scribes was a righteous man. But the Lord is not talking about bloodline. No, he's talking of the line of murderers, sinners, evil, wicked men that pretend spirituality, that outwardly are religious, and yet inwardly they are murderers. So he says that those that are so careful about building monuments, about commemorating this day and that day and this day and that day. Someone was born and someone died and someone did this or that on that day and so on. And they keep those feasts and holidays, but don't keep the word of God. He called them the children of murderers. He says, your fathers murdered them, and now you are building their graves and decorating their graves instead of keeping the word that the prophets proclaimed, the word of God. So the Lord says that the wisdom of God said that the Lord will send to them the messengers, those that will bring the word of God, and this crowd of murderers will slay the godly people, bringing the true message of salvation. And then the Lord said, the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the beginning, will be required of this generation. Well, why? What responsibility a lawyer or a Pharisee or a scribe or all three of them together have for the blood of Abel? They didn't live in those days. They didn't have any direct relationship with Cain that murdered Abel. Well, the Lord says that it's not a question of how many people one sinner did murder. No, that's not a question. How sinful that sinner is, and if he had power of one of the great historical worldwide known murderers, he would do the same. Every sinner is just a sinner. So the Lord says that outside of Christ, outside of his light, there is only darkness, darkness, darkness. And what is the end of that journey? Darkness forever. But in Christ, there is light, and more light every day. And what is the end of that journey? Glorious and wonderful light of the kingdom of heaven, in which there will be glory and honor, worship and praise in purity and holiness forever and ever. Amen.